Hi, everybody. Welcome to Analyze Your Trade, episode number 63 for January 29th, 2019. We are broadcasting live on YouTube at 4:30 p.m. Eastern Time, and today we will be discussing your trade ideas. So over the last few days, about 30 people submitted up to five symbols each, and I've put the list together of the top requests, and you should be seeing it on your screen while I'm talking right now. We're going to go through as many of those as we can, and let's see if you've not heard this yet. I'm also posting the audio-only podcast version of all episodes to iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, and everywhere else you can get the podcast now. So just if you're interested in that, just search for Timing Research and subscribe. My name is David Kosmeter, and I'm the creator of TimingResearch.com. I developed the show with Dean of Follow Me Trades, but he's off this week, and Mike Pisani is here to moderate. Neil Batho was also supposed to join us, but he had to cancel at the last minute, but he's sending me some comments by text that I might read out when we get to certain symbols. So, I'm going to go ahead and turn it over to Mike now.
Thanks, David. Good evening, everybody. Hope everybody's having great. Welcome to the 29th of January. We're near the end of the month. I am honored to have with me again Michael Filigeria from Logical Signals. Michael, why don't you tell them a little bit about yourself real quick, and then I'll give them about me, and let's talk of the overall market before we dive into some names tonight.
Sure. I'm Michael Filigeria. I started Logical Signals, and it continues to be my website, rather stagnant at the moment, but hopefully I'm going to get it together and I'm going to get back on there and start doing some publications again and start helping people. I've been very focused on a different project, and hopefully that's going to come to fruition very soon. And I'll just give you a hint. It's about a funding program for traders. And so I'm working very diligently on putting that together in a fair and honest manner. I have been in the market since 1979, which makes me an old timer, and sometimes I feel like it. I have traded options primarily, because that was the core of my career. So I was an options market maker here in San Francisco, also on the European Options Exchange in Amsterdam, the London Traded Options Market, and also the DTB in Germany. And that's where I got my first lessons in electronic trading. And when I came back to the United States, I returned to the Pacific Exchange, but then went off floors. Everything else started to really move towards electronic. And now I focus on futures and day trading.
Thank you. Sure. Myself, I'm Mike Pisani with SmartOptionTrading.com. My website's up on the screen. Please come visit me. What I do is I've been trading since just after the financial crisis. I started right literally in the first couple months after there. And I've learned to use options as both a means of leverage in the market, but also as a guide to where money may be moving or how it's playing certain names or the markets in general. And if you come to my website, you can join me there. I'd use technical analysis and option flow to determine what I want to do and give me a guide onto names I should be looking at, what I should be trading that day. And then I use news and options as well to go with it. So I'll give you more on that at the end. Michael, we're sitting here right now, and I want to talk overall markets. Before I do that, Apple just came out. So Apple beat on revenue and EPS. The big surprise to me here is they beat on China revenue, and that's why they're up. And also Tim Cook already said, now the call doesn't start to 5, but Tim Cook already said that January looked much better than December in terms of tensions between China and the United States. And they guided up for the second quarter, which is always amazing to me, right? This is a company that just, a month ago guided down, and now they're guiding up already. Are we seeing games?
Yes. I think that it's becoming a game between the CEOs and the C-level people, at particular very high level or very high appearing companies. Apple is the largest retail stock that we have, and of course their products are worldwide, and so therefore he's got to finally jump into the same game. But I do agree with what you just said. It's like, you don't say at one point, gee, where I'm guiding lower, and watch the stock go from 159 down to 142, and then say, well, you know, I really might have been off on that, and I'm liking what I've seen coming out of China, etc., etc. And I'm wondering if that's just a lead-in or just trying to pull people in before China walks away from the negotiating table and flips everything back into a very very sorry note.
Well,
go ahead.
We'll come back to Apple because it's one of the names on our list, and we're definitely going to cover that. I want to see it settle a bit before we go into it much. I'd like to see the call come get started before we go into it, right? Because you and I have been doing this a long time, and you know, the conference call can very often crater or move a stock up, right? Like Whirlpool today. I mean, Whirlpool earnings were horrible, right? We all looked at that this morning and like it was down, and that has got to be the biggest engulfing bullish candle I've ever seen in my life.
Mm-hmm.
And it all started on the conference call. So, you know, we'll come back to Apple because I don't want to spend time on until the call starts. But I do want to talk overall markets with you here. And, you know, two weeks ago, you and I were on together, and, you know, we were talking about kind of how the SPY was kind of a little range. You kind of felt, I think, at that point that we were likely to roll over at some point, go down. And I think I thought we were a little bit more range bound. Fast forward here 2 weeks, and we've kind of been range bound.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of an interesting time here. From, in my opinion, the next couple of days are really important. So I'll let you go first.
I agree with you on the next couple of days, but I've actually stretched that beyond the what's going to affect the markets. I find that the way that the markets are acting to be astounding to me. I think that I don't know who, but I think traders, investors, everybody is playing a very serious game of let's skate on a razor blade and try not to get caught.
Nice analogy.
Yeah, and I believe that the reality of what is happening in our country and politically in Washington D.C. Is eventually going to catch us. There is a price to pay. For example, just in that 35-day government shutdown, the CBO came out and said that it really did cost the American people $11 billion. That's what the shutdown cost us.
For a wall now, that was $5.2
billion?
$5.7. And not to humor the wall. Don't misunderstand me. I'm just talking pure numbers here. I'm trying not to
right.
say.
Right. It was $5.7.
Yep.
Just for the, you know, and I get you totally. But not being political, I just think in terms of reality, in terms of economically, that there is a price that we will have to pay for what others are doing on our behalf or not doing on our behalf. And I think that has not been even looked at. Now, whether they're putting the blinders on and going, I just can only deal with what's directly in front of me could be perfect. It could be what's happening. But I think that just the basic ignoring reality plays into a question or something that I have been talking about for a long time, and that's the status quo. I do not believe in the status quo. I believe that's what's changing, and it's so subtle that it's going to catch everybody off guard. And that's where I think we'll see some real damage being done. So markets overall, I remain in the point where it's like you better get prepared and you better be prepared, because I think when it hits, it's going to hit very, very quickly. And I think a lot of damage could be done to a lot of people because they will not be able to make a move.
So it's interesting. I think you and I come at this from a very different perspective sometimes, which makes this really good, right?
Yep.
And you're bringing up fundamentals, and you're bringing, and you know what? Fundamentals used to matter a lot, and they should matter a lot.
True.
This market doesn't seem to care about fundamentals.
It does not. You're absolutely correct.
It just does not. Yesterday, on that CAT earnings miss and guide down, and that NVIDIA guide down, this market should have tanked. And it held in.
And it held in well, not ignoring, because I sat here and watched them. And I think that they really, that there are players in the market that understand Caterpillar was down and NVIDIA was down. They were down big.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Tesla was down as well. But then they can understand the, and this is just.
But there was no contagion. Where was the same names in the sector weren't getting smacked like you would have expected?
Understood, because I believe that there are enough players out there that they get where they can manipulate in terms of the weighting on NVIDIA in the NASDAQ,
yep,
or the Caterpillar in the Dow. Okay, so how do we balance this out? And I think that's what they do. Now, again, I'm not saying that as a conspiracy, and I don't necessarily always come at the market on a fundamental basis. I hear what you're saying, and I cannot disagree with you. But I think even on a technical basis, that they're really pushing into some dangerous territories, and I don't know why.
So for me, I look at this market and the last week and a half, and we're going to get into symbols in a minute. It's been consolidating this nice move off the lows and really just really consolidating nicely.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the next 48 hours, in my opinion, tell the tale. And my reasons are this. One, we have big earnings. It just started with Apple and AMD and Amgen tonight, right?
Mm-hmm.
And let me just pull this up. And here's an earnings chart. Tomorrow morning, Alibaba, Boeing, AT&T, McDonald's. Tomorrow night, Facebook, Microsoft, Tesla, PayPal, Visa, Wynn, Qualcomm, U.S. Steel. And then, you know, it just goes on. Thursday, GE, UPS, you know, Amazon. I mean, this week is huge on earnings. Then we get some big energy names coming in. But more importantly, we have the Fed decision tomorrow too, in a press conference at 2:30. I think more than anything, the market is waiting for that and watching to see, do they, you know, I don't think they raise tomorrow. I don't know about you, but
I don't either.
But if, you know, did they back off officially from that, we're going to raise two times this year, is what the market's looking for, right? All they have to say is, you know, we're looking to, you know, we'll raise, is our raises now going forward are data dependent. The market will love that.
Yes, but I think that it's, what I find interesting is that how much we're going to place on whether or not the Federal Reserve has a true intent on trying to put a cap or trying to put a cover around inflation, which is doing nothing more than protecting the masses of the United States, right? The people here. Or are they going to put a kibosh on any hopes of future rally, which again, affect a very small percentage of the people of the United States. So again, you know, I'm coming from a different area.
Yep. But technically, this market looks fine. If you were to look at this market from a technical basis, it's consolidating, it's waiting. And one more last thing, one more big event happening starting tomorrow. Chinese delegation is in town for trade talks.
Right.
Now, again, I don't expect we're going to get a trade deal this week. I think this goes to the last minute if we get one done before March 1st at all. But I mean, it's just, so I do believe the next 48 hours will really decide which way this market wants to go.
And don't forget that you've got one more caveat. It's sitting a little bit further out than this week. And that is, you know, will our president have another temper tantrum and decide to shut the government again because he's not going to get any money?
I don't think the market cared about it. And I hate to say that, but the market.
I understand. But if they now have all the available information on how much the last one cost us, so if we decide to do it again, will we react or won't we react?
Who's better? I really cannot decide who's better or worse in this case. The spoiled child throwing a temper tantrum, or the parents who just refuse to do anything publicly and sit there and watch them scream the whole time and do nothing.
I know. I'm with you.
I mean, that's my analogy, and I'm not trying to take it on, but come to an agreement. You know what? You're right. It doesn't matter whether you want the wall or not. Both sides make some type of consolations and get a deal done.
I think that the one side is. I think Congress is attempting to do that, but I think that there are members of Congress and also within the West Wing that are basically saying it's my way or the highway, and that type of negotiations is never going to work. But then again, don't forget also, just in terms of before we get into numbers here, or into today's stocks, we have the same president who's going to go off and walk right into the snare that North Korea is setting for him, as if I'm the greatest thing since sliced bread, and I'm gonna denuclearize the world. And it's like, wait, you don't see that one coming, world.
See, this is where I back off with you, because I will not go into politics. Not that I don't love talking politics, but there's no winning.
There is no winning. You're right. We shouldn't be on this is not the correct platform to do that. But I'm just talking about what could or could not move the market.
I think right now that's the last thing on their burner. But I agree. So I think this week's important. I think this week decides whether we pop up or down. So with that, we have a bunch of names here, 15 names to go into, and it's just you and me. So let's work on them. So the first one up is Micron, Michael, and I'm always going to let you go first because I don't want to monopolize the conversation. So go ahead.
I like it when you monopolize the conversation. You're very good at this.
Thank you.
Micron has always been one of my more favorite options stocks and trading stocks.
Love the stock.
Yes. And I'm finding that I love the rally and the moves that it's made off of that 2839 low mid-December. And I believe that there should be continued upside, but it looks to me like we might get upwards of around, let me just do that, 454, about 41 to 42. And whether or not that completes this particular pattern or just sets it up for a continuation, is unclear to me at this point. So I think very near term, it should rally again and get itself above 40 this time, closer to 42. And I think it might find some resistance right there at that 40 to 40, 25 level. And then again, it should find resistance up around 41.75. But it should get up in there before we get another pullback. And then it should be clearer as to where the market goes from there. But I think near term, higher.
So First of all, on Micron, it broke this downtrend that we've had, this long-term downtrend that started back in June of last year, right? So it's just been in this downtrend. It broke it in the last week, and today it closed just below it. The other thing is the 100-day has been resistance. You look, it's hard to see, but that white line comes in. These three candles have all failed the last couple of days on the 100-day. All right. Now it's up here with AMD, and here's what I like about right now in the semis. And I've said for a while the semis are in a cyclical downturn, but they've also gotten beaten up more than most sectors earlier. Lam Research had good earnings. Texas Instruments had good earnings. Xilinx had good earnings. Intel did not, but Intel has a different problem right now. Their problem is they have an interim CEO for 7 months. You can't do that, right? You can't. Right. You got to get a CEO in place. And AMD's out tonight, and they're good. If it can get above the 100-day with volume and a close above it, I think this one has room. I would say the 44 and then really the 200-day at 46 for the next move. That's my kind of thoughts on this. I like what I'm seeing in the sector. Forget NVIDIA. I think NVIDIA's problems are NVIDIA's problems. I think they have backlog of inventory. They have a bad graphics card that they've come out with the new technology that's not yet really readily accepted. And they're having huge problems with the with failure rate on those cards. They're having a bad release. I don't think that's the whole market. And I think what you're seeing with AMD tonight is their market's saying, nope, it's an NVIDIA problem.
Wow. Would you think that kind of is a little bit dangerous?
How so? For NVIDIA?
Well, just saying that, it's their problem. It doesn't really affect us.
Well, I think they've had a bad. I think they've done a couple bad things. Bad. I mean, again, this stock NVIDIA went from 20 to almost 300 in 18 months.
True.
So, you know, they're trading around what, 130 a share right now, roughly. You know, they've gotten beaten up, but they've also made some big mistakes along the way. They built up this huge inventory for Bitcoin, and obviously, Bitcoin is no longer in focus.
Right.
And then they missed with their gaming card. So, I like Micron here. If AMD holds and Micron gets above the 100-day, I like it to go higher. I think we both do there.
Yes, I agree.
We get an ETF here, the IWM, the Russell. I love the Russell. I don't know about you. It's always for me my bell cow, my bellwether of the market.
Yeah, I've never had anything against the Russell 2000. I think that I love it because it's 2000 stocks versus 30, so it's not as easily manipulated or controlled. And the same pattern that we just saw, the same pattern we just saw in Micron is the same pattern that we're seeing here in the IWM, which portends to, but I like it a little bit better on here in the Russell than I did in Micron. I think that very near term, we got a strong shot at 150. We got the 200-day at 158, at least on my charts. And break there is just, you know, clean sailing, what I would think, to new highs. Now, new highs have been called by some really strong bears. I don't know if it was just, you know, finally breaking down and saying, all right, I give in. I don't necessarily see that, but nothing's off the table right now. And I definitely like IWM right now. And I love it. I also like it a great deal because the options are very liquid. And so you can get in there, you can put on good positions, you can manage your positions easily, you don't get stuck. The Russell moves. So, you know, you got your price volatility, you got everything that you need. So I like it as a player, and I like it for the upside right now.
What I love about the IWM, I don't trade it that much anymore. I don't trade the indexes that much anymore. So that's it. But this one always seems to lead in either direction. A daily chart or intraday, if the markets are weak and the IWM's holding up, I don't worry too much. If the IWM's dumping and the SPY and the Qs aren't, I get a little bit more nervous. Does that make sense? It's like, this doesn't look right. But, you know, this thing had a huge move off the lows. And when you look at this, I mean, you got a V-shaped bounce and it came right into a resistance trend line I've had drawn here. And it's, you know, it's been resistance for just shy of 148. Let's call it 147, 20, 30. If it breaks through that, you notice how it's riding the 8-day? I mean, I love that. That shows commitment to this. Momentum's still in it. They're not letting it go that far. I think the next stop is you have your 100-day at 151. You said 150. Perfect. Good enough.
I have 200. The 200 I have at 158. Well,
you said 150 is your first stop. So I'm going to go higher.
I agree. Yes.
At 151. And then I have resistance at 154 with the 200-day just shy of 158. I think 154 is going to be RSI will be screaming by the time it gets there. And I think that will ultimately doom the rally at that point. But if it gets to 154, you know, 10-point move off of here, that's a magic number. That would be awesome.
Yeah, and plenty of room to make very nice money.
Yeah. And it doesn't see a lot of flow like the SPY. So it stands out when it comes to that.
No, you're right. It doesn't. And the spiders are, again, much more more, they're played by everybody. So you're right on that. But I still believe that the IWM, you know, is not necessarily, you know, the nasty stepchild, but is definitely a player, has some serious players within it, and you can put on positions without worry. Yep. You're not going to get stuck. And I agree with you. I didn't necessarily look. I mean, my momentum is continuing to point higher on my momentum indicators. And it's sitting just below overbought. But you're right about the RSI, and that in and of itself can draw a lot of attention on the sell side.
Yeah, at that point when it gets there.
Yeah.
All right. So next up is Amgen. Before you jump in, I want to make sure we bring ourselves current because they reported tonight.
Yes, they
and
did.
They beat on earnings and revenue, but they guided light for the year. So they're currently down, not bad. They're down about $4, which for Amgen at $191 is not down horribly. What are your thoughts on Amgen here as we go in and go forward?
I show them at 187.5.
Yep, and they were 191 when we closed.
Oh, correct. I got you. I flipped down to the hourly just so I could include the move that it's in the process of putting on here. And I don't think it's really, it's just exactly what you said. It's not that damaging unless you're long 10,000 shares. Then you're going to be licking your wounds a little bit. Maybe some continued downside initially, but I think it finds a very nice bottom below 177.5. And whether or not, so I can time this out. Now, hold on. That is 9 plus 22, about 31 and 31 from here. Yeah, like 173-ish, which from where it's closed is not going to look real pretty.
No.
But, you know, everything gets done and then it's over and then they begin to rebuild. I think you have to now, because of the earnings, you kind of have to allow for some continued downside. But I think that even when if the stock opens tomorrow, relative to where it's closing after hours, you could see them jumping back in.
I think for me is, first of all, this chart, you take the last 4 months, it's been a choppy mess, right?
Mm-hmm.
All over the place. And biotech is generally in a tough spot. You know, everybody's, you know, it's undergunned by politicians who want to lower drug costs, which of course put these companies, biotech especially, in a hard spot. What I'm looking at here is the 200 days at 189.52. So we're going to be under that right now if we were open at the moment. Now, I don't know if that call has gone on yet. I'll double check. I don't know, you know, what they may have said or not. In the call. No, the call hasn't even started yet. So my one caveat here is the call starts in 2 minutes at 5 o'clock tonight Eastern.
Okay.
So you and I both know they can announce a buyback. You know, they don't always release everything right away. But to your point, I think the low here is 178. I don't think it goes below that recent low that we got from back in the December 24th sell-off.
Okay.
I think it holds that if it's weak, only because I think they're trying to buy some of these stocks. It's been trapped for a long time. They'd like to see these go.
Mm-hmm.
They could announce a big buyback. If they announce a big buyback, that can move the stock. But, you know, for the last week and a half, this stock has not been acting special. It's already started selling off, running to earnings. So,
right.
You know, for me, this is not a name I think I want to play right now. I think I would look for other names in the space that are maybe acting better,
right,
and look for that. And honestly, the whole space to me, other than big, the big names, the names here have been like, you know, lately have been the LLYs of the world, which got, you know, finally got smacked as well, right? But the big pharma names has been where they've been playing. The LLYs, J&J before, obviously the news with the talc. And then the baby powder, right? The powder.
Yeah, yeah.
Even Pfizer today got hit a little bit on earnings, but, you know, could have been worse, came right back. Look at that candle today, came roaring back on it. They
That's
wanted
huge.
These more than the biotechs. They don't really seem to want the biotechs here. So I would be careful.
And I think, you know, I think that that's a mistake. And I agree with you. Somebody doesn't want it. And I don't know why, because it's within these biotech stocks that the next true advancement in terms of pharmaceuticals, in terms of treatments.
Yep.
This is where it's going to come from.
You're right, because these big pharma companies, they don't invest like these little biotechs.
No, they don't. They don't have it together in terms of that. So what they wait for is somebody successful, and then they go out and buy them.
Right.
But I think this is now, again, my position where I live in the world is that I live in the center of San Francisco, but all around me is biotech central.
Marin County. Way,
well, yes, but then right down south of the city, you've got Genentech.
Mm-hmm.
You've got huge. And I'm already talking with a lot of people that work at these different huge firms or companies, and immune therapy, the advancements that are being made in immune therapy that are being kept secret, because not secret, but kept low key, because they don't want the stock to go up to 400 and then have it be slammed down to, you know, back to 200 or whatever. But that's the one to watch. And I think that's going to come out of the biotech stocks. Well, so
the one I have my eye on is CLVS. They've been around forever, but they have some, you know, they're a big player in cancer drugs.
And look at the price of the stock.
Yep.
Compared to Amgen.
It's cheap. It's been beaten up. Look at the way this chart's trying to come up. I mean, I have a funny feeling that there's people looking at this company. They have a nice pipeline still. This is what big pharma doesn't have. That's why Bristol Myers bought Celgene. They had a terrific pipeline.
Yes, exactly. And that's what I'm waiting to see, how the distribution of the smaller firms that are coming up with really strong and promising results in their, you know, trials. Yeah.
I'd rather be in these small, mid-sized biotechs if I'm going to play biotech. Not the bigger guys like Amgen, though.
Right.
Because
Amgen is big enough, maybe they're out there looking for CLVS,
yep.
you know, to say, hey, we could pick them up and we'll bring them into the family, blah, blah, blah. Again, I don't know. But as far as Amgen is concerned, I agree. I actually think it would complete the pattern very nicely for it to dip below 178. But I like your 178. I can go along. I can live with that too. But I'm not saying it has to dip a whole lot. Okay. Just make a new low below that, complete the pattern, and let's go to the moon.
I tend to agree. It gets forgiven pretty quickly, I think.
Yeah, agreed.
Well, that brings us to the next name, which is Cat. Well, obviously, earnings came out yesterday. Boy, I was live on TV yesterday. We're talking about how, you know, the last time I did this with a TDA network on Oliver, we talked about, you know, the CEO said 6 months ago, you know, the high watermark. Boy, has that proven to be true. This stock has not gotten above. That day was back here, and I'm going to let you go first, but that day was all the way back here on April 24th. And he said that at 11 o'clock on the conference call, it tanked not only Cap, but the whole market, and they have not gotten above that since then.
So, but what, that 162 or 160,
yeah, whatever 150, that was? Yeah, yeah, basically, it popped above it very, very briefly, but it was like, you know, a microsecond.
Wow. Yeah. Caterpillar is just one of those very large cap stocks that gets bashed. I've seen it get bashed more often, but the reality behind it is it's like once people make their adjustment and they realize maybe they were over anticipating its greatness. I don't know. I think that part of what's in here and Caterpillar is a lot of the tariffs. So a lot of their exports are just out of reach for a lot of different countries. And so I think that's kind of put a squeeze on them a little bit, but I was surprised at how it reacted after the earnings. I think the market overreacted or they overvalued. So I'm not sure what they were really looking for.
They missed and they got it down. That's usually bad.
Yeah, I get it. But the stock was up $2 today. So it's up 1.75% today after they knocked the crap out of it yesterday.
Because you know this market.
Yeah.
Bad yesterday is good today. What's good today is bad.
Yeah. I do agree with you again. But as far as, like, I think near term, Caterpillar may see some continued fallout because of what happened. I think if that fallout's going to be contained, it needs to be contained above 116. I think if it drops below 116, then we got to really, you know, what's $4 more? And then we're producing, you know, we're going to drop below the October lows.
I'm thinking 120, Mike. So this is fun conversation. I'm thinking if it's going to be any good, it's going to hold 120.
I would allow it all the way down to 116, but I see your point and I see where it is on the chart, and I would not disagree with you. But again, if it gets thin, nobody wants to step up and buy it, whatever.
So
it could, you know, I always
what roll happens if we get a China deal. I'm buying this stock hand over fist. Right. I mean, honestly, I mean, if for some reason a China deal gets done, wouldn't you think that
this goes away? Because that's been the big hold.
Yes.
That's why they guided lower, because it's like their sales on an international basis are being held back. So yes, I agree with you.
I'm going to make a bold call that it's going to hold 120 because of hope for China deal. You understand the word hope?
Yeah.
I didn't say we're getting one. I said hope.
That was really good though. I like it. I will agree with you, but I'm going to allow again. I allowed down to 116, and actually the number is 116.10.
Yeah, so I see where you're getting it at. I really do. I'm thinking that this market does not tend to punish names they have hope for.
Good point, which means there's hope for the market.
And I actually would not be surprised if good Boeing's earning this market rips. It rips right back through the gap and we're at 130 before the end of the week.
Wow, that would be nice.
And there's been a lot of flow around that area too in options. So very, wow. Very possible.
Okay, you that know? Would be nice. If they go up, if it goes up and it fills the gap that was created, yes, join the party, go for the ride.
But the 200-day remains, in my opinion, resistance until it can get above it.
Yeah, but it's only at 139.
Yeah, but you can see three touches basically into it and it can't break it.
True, but if they're going to go close that gap, 139, I don't think it'll stop them. But it might. It might.
I love these conversations. Yeah. All right. So next up is another beaten, battered, bruised, and destroyed biotech company. And this used to be a darling. Do you remember AbbVie? I mean, this market a year plus ago loved AbbVie. This was their favorite name. Every time they bought calls on this name, they were right. It went up. And then it just came undone and it has come completely unglued.
In your opinion, what would you think AbbVie's claim to fame is?
One of the biggest biotech buybacks in biotech history.
It's like that's where I always will start. It's like, okay, kids, let's talk about what this company does. What have they produced that is going to make people jump up and say, "Wow, I want to have that in my portfolio." Instead of looking, I mean, I'm looking at a probability scale that's basically telling me that it's going to continue to move sideways and be stuck between 69.75 to 77.5 is pretty much where they believe that this stock is going to sit forever.
I mean, this thing popped and I remember trading this. I trade this a lot. I have a weekly chart up just so we can look at it from back in September of 2017. It ignited and I traded the hell out of it up to 120. And I took a nasty loss when it came crashing back down. That one big red candle where I sat in that damn thing.
Was that simply what that was in March?
Last year? Right.
Okay.
And then they announced their big buyback and they did it Dutch style instead of doing it normal. And it got killed because they did the buyback well below where the stock was trading. And honestly, I look at this chart and I don't think they have a great pipeline anymore. Mm. And I'm thinking, honestly, this thing can go back to 70. That's where the 200 day is on the weekly chart, the 400 on the daily. And that's where it broke out from.
Just move out to my weekly. Oh, easily.
All right.
Easily. I think maybe we should have looked at the weekly. I don't start on the daily because if I look at the weekly, I think that this stock is doomed and I'd be holding onto my puts or adding to that position because it dropped below 75, which is where I have the 200 day. Again, you know, we don't want to.
Yep.
That it's good night nurse. Now it could bounce, maybe drop down to 70, like you said, bounce, but it ain't over. It's not over. I think there's continued downside for AbbVie.
Well, and the other thing you and I both know, and this is the one thing, and this is what I would encourage all of you out there who are listening to us tonight. Biotech is probably one of the hardest sectors to trade because you don't just have to worry about earnings. In fact, most times earnings don't matter. It's drug data.
Yeah.
And if you're not aware what drugs are in the pipeline and when data is due and how important they are, you can get caught either way very easily, right?
Right. I mean, that's why when I started, I said, what do they have? Nothing. That's a standout. Nothing that tells people it's like, yes, we're working and we're working diligently and we've got this coming.
And this is why you spent all that money to buy back. I think you're better off buying some of these small biotechs.
Mm-hmm. Maybe that's what they're planning to do.
All right. So I'm avoiding AbbVie. If I'm going to trade something, it's not AbbVie and biotech.
I would agree.
Beyond MRN. I've been in BioMarin. It's one out by you forever. Yeah. One of my favorites.
But what would you say to somebody if they told you, well, I'm long the stock? Or somebody says, I'm short the stock. And maybe that's what
they're... Short this stock here? That's a great question. If you're short it, I would say I would stay short it as long as it doesn't retake that gap at 82.55.
I like it. And if you were somebody to say, I'm long the stock, what do you think?
I would have a very tight stop at 78.60 or 76.60, right on that double bottom here.
I'm long the stock from 95, and I've got some puts that are going to expire.
I would take my profits on my puts and probably roll them out. And if I want to stay in this, otherwise I would consider taking my profits or if your puts were close to the money, I would exercise those puts and to get my out.
You know what I was thinking exactly. My thought was, it's like if somebody would have told me, you know, I'm long the stock, And but I got these puts and they're expiring in February. What should I do? Take your profit, exercise your puts, and call it a day.
You know, and everybody forgets that when you buy a put, you have the right to sell your stock at that price.
Yeah.
So if you have a, to your point, if you were long, if you owned the stock at 95 and you bought a 90 put, and I know you're taking a $5 loss, but you can sell your stock at 90, which is a hell of a lot better than 77.47.
Right, right.
And
you've got the profit in the put plus selling the stock at 90. So
well, you can't take the profit.
You're still only going to be down to $5.
You'll lose the profits in the put by exercising it, won't you?
Well, you lose it because you're selling the stock.
But
you're taking a $5 hit versus a $20 hit.
That's exactly it. And the one thing I think one thing that we all hate to do, we all hate being wrong, right?
True.
But we're all wrong. I mean, I 2 days in a row I bought 350 calls on Netflix and got a paper cut because I've been trying to make it work and it's not working, right? The thing to do is when you're wrong, get out of the way, stop worrying about it. The worst thing you can do is being a loser and just keep staring at it.
I got to tell you, you were a day early on or a couple of days early on the Netflix because it's trading about 3:30 now, but that's okay.
Well, I don't want to talk about it.
There's always tomorrow.
Oh yeah, they'll catch me a third time.
Yeah, true. They'll catch you a third time. All right.
Next up on our list here is Baba. Now, preference. Baba has earnings before we open tomorrow morning.
I just, you know, this is one of those companies that I think we allowed in on the exchange for varied reasons, but I can't see behind an iron curtain as to really what's going on inside and you know, what insiders might or not be doing.
I'm going to take offense with that. And I don't mean against you personally.
I think that that's okay.
I think that there's been a lot of fraud that's come out of China names, but there's also been a lot of good names that have come out and been traded very well. And I think at some point, China is now the number two economy in the world. We have to start recognizing that some of these companies are good and they're real and they want to be accepted as real. And I think Baba is one of the ones that I think, you know, they want to be seen as a strong Western company that can do the right thing. I'm not talking about your Bida, right? Which is just a disaster.
There's a long list, but and then I take that. I take what you're saying that I was not inferring that, you know, Alibaba Group is not as transparent.
No, I understand what you're saying, but I think at some point you have to start giving some of these companies, especially the one that had been seen to be transparent, a little bit more credence than we do, and still be much more careful of these small little guys, which we know nothing about.
True. Sticking with the weekly and looking at the weekly chart, just to speak specifically about chart pattern and about, you know, the technicals in terms of Alibaba, I think that on a near-term basis and on a weekly, that could be the next couple of weeks, maybe up to Feb expiration, there's a shot that the stock will get up towards 169, 170. I think that's going to be it. And then the stock will put another down leg in and it will eventually break 130 and it's going to end up. And again, this is basis of weekly chart, so this is not going to happen overnight. 212, 120, wow. So we got 212, that's 12 to 70. It could be 80. It could be somewhere around $90.
So
that's on a big picture look. If I took it down to the daily, I think, again, same thing. I think that we have a strong shot of at least getting up towards 169, you know, right towards that high that we had at 168.85 or whatever it was right there in December, 168.80, maybe a little bit above it. We got the 200 day at 169.77 on my chart.
That's my target.
Okay.
I think that's a reasonable target.
I think that's reasonable.
A good target for it. So my people in my service, we traded this on the W bottom, right? And I said, everybody, we came down, you got your center candle on your W pattern here. And I said, if it breaks above that, we take some. We did. We took some calls long. And you can see this is a W that worked, right?
Mm-hmm.
Nice little pattern. Consolidating. It's all about earnings tomorrow, though. Now, you know, China's slowing. That is a huge problem. Trade talks will help this name. But honestly, if it's good, I think this thing could fly to 169 quickly because it's been way down, right? They can come after the same hard. But I do think you're right. That's the high. Now, if it's weak, I'd like to see it try to hold 150, 149 area, the 50 day, because if it held there, it kind of keeps the upper half of this channel in the game.
I don't think it's going to be weak. I just don't, the pattern doesn't display that for me. So I think it could be the surprise. It could be, you know, I don't know if they're going to blow the doors, but they might. in which case we're going to go up and we're going to see that 169 area.
I'll tell you this, if Baba is good, I would grab JD without a second thought.
Okay.
Look at this chart. Look at the bottoming pattern, how well this is holding in here. CEO problems behind it with the rape allegations in Minnesota. It's right. A nice looking chart. If one of the big names in China is good, this is another one that's a bigger name. I think this one will explode off of that tomorrow.
Wow. Okay.
And you don't have to, it's a cheaper name and you don't have to be caught up in the earnings fiasco.
Was that December low? Was it lower than the November low?
No, not quite.
Then it's a corrective pattern.
Yep.
And no corrective pattern in progress. So it could put a finishing blow off in and then topple over.
You see, to me, I see a higher low.
Yeah, I see it with you.
I see a series of higher lows and it's flagging here at the 34, or the 24 area trying to get through. And when the market's been weak, it hasn't cared.
Yeah. Oh, well, again, this is what makes a market, folks.
And this is what makes these conversations great, because we're never going to always agree.
And that's why I have so much respect for you, Mike. Yep.
You as well.
Because we don't. And I think that that's fabulous.
By the way, while I'm sitting here, I'm watching Apple. Apple is $9 off the close now at 164, screaming on the conference call.
Yep.
Unreal.
Good for my local economy. Come on now.
It is. It's great. It's just, you look at this and you're like, okay.
I got to tell you, I'm an Applephite. I love Apple products. Not for a long time, but now that I've converted, they can do no wrong. But I like what's next. So
you like what's next. Well, TLT, that's your area. Bonds. Take it away, sir.
I think that the overall bond, and don't forget, the TLT is basically a tranche or a basket between 20 and 30 year long-term debt.
TBT is leverage. TLT is not leverage. Go ahead. Sorry.
Correct. TBT is the short and TLT is the long. Basically, it's how I keep it straight in my mind. I feel that the bond market has come off beautifully from its highs at the 171, and it's come all the way down. This is, again, the 30-year bond. It's come all the way down to 129, 126, somewhere in there, and has now done this incredible bounce. Now, once it made clear that initial leg is done, it's over, and we're in that corrective rally phase, that I put on for my bond information or my bond analysis, I had put 152. So I think it can rally back to 152, which would, if we translate that over to TLT, is going to put this thing back, and I got to move out off my daily to my weekly. It should put this somewhere back around 129 to 130.
You're expecting some weakness in this market because TLT didn't rally until this market got really weak. It's been a safe haven over the last month and a half.
True, but I do expect the market, the overall markets to rally. But we're just talking about, yes, people do use it. It's like if they're feeling a little bit insecure about what, you know, securities are going to do and things of that nature, they fly into the bonds, which I don't always feel is the right thing. But I do feel that the bonds are in a corrective rally. And I have my first, it's already reached and exceeded absolute first resistance, which is at 146. It reached above it, then dipped back below. Now it's on its way back up again. And I think that this finishing rally, which it's now starting, is going to end up at 152-ish, 152. It may start to find resistance just below 150.16, somewhere around there. But I believe that by the time it's all said and done, it'll be at 152, and then all hell will break loose and
all over again. Honestly, I do think bonds will rebound a bit, because if the Fed is not aggressively raising rates, they'd have no reason to be talking bonds.
That could prop it up as well. Absolutely agree.
But I do think if this market goes higher, if this market explodes higher, and I do think there's a fair chance it will, I think bonds are going to may move with it, but they're not going to have the momentum. I think your money's going to be better elsewhere.
And, totally agree with that as well.
You know,
what we need to remember in the bonds, it's not a new bull market. It doesn't mean that yields are going to start to drop.
Right.
It only just means it's recovering from the initial leg down.
All right. We're going to have about 5 minutes, Mike. So we're going to do some fast.
Hey guys, Neil did send me comments on TLT, so I'll just read those real fast.
Okay.
He thought that TLT was a good buy and hold, but to use the leveraged ETF version, he said TMF could break through near-term highs. People will start to flee to bonds again. And that's what he had to say. So.
Thank you. All right, Michael, we're going to do some of these pretty quickly here. So Palo Alto's up first. Earnings are a little bit off. FireEye reports this week. What are your thoughts in the security space here?
I'm Palo Alto?
Yep.
Burnout. Reached its top, turns around and does not do well. I think that you might get back above 210, but I think it's not going to move too much above there. Maybe 212. And then it rolls over again. And then it's look out below. I think we've got the 200 day at 160, almost 161.
I see 202. You must be on a weekly chart.
I am.
Okay.
Let me go back down to the daily. You're right, because I was a little bit too far out. Yeah, 202. And I think that'll help propel it once it drops. 200 day on the daily is at 202. If it breaks there, it's like good night nursing. It's going to be all finished. And you're
right. It's got a buyout rumor on it.
I don't think so.
It's got a buyout rumor on it. I like it off of 202. If it comes to there and holds and the market's strong, I would try it off of there. RSI got heated and it did exactly what it should do. It got a hard RSI and it pulled off of it and just cooling off here.
Right.
I would try it off of 202. I would not take it before then.
What if it breaks right through 202?
I don't like shorting this name because it's got too many buyout rumors on it. I would just leave it alone and wait until it found a bottom and give me a reversal candle.
Well, they're buying a puffed up valuation if they are. But then again, who am I?
AMD earnings tonight right now is currently trading here at 21 and change, very just above 21, which is really not that big of a move. It hasn't even taken back to the top of the last couple of days on it. Right. Put it in perspective. What are your thoughts here on AMD?
AMD, I think the fact that it went down and came back and now sits comfortably above the 200-day. I like
200
it.
Days been support for this thing. Other than yeah, the brief,
it has. Don't forget that even today it closed just a little bit below it. At least on my daily, it closed just a little bit below it. Now it's well back above it. And yeah, I think it continues to go up. I think maybe 24.
I'm gonna say 23 where the 100 days at.
I see.
And then the 24 is that high spot. I think you're picking up on that pop from back in November.
Yes.
Yep. And I think it remains a buy off the 200-day on weakness until proven otherwise.
Until proven otherwise. Absolutely correct.
Perfect. Let's go to one of my favorite names out there. And I cannot start off a conversation about Square without saying that I trade this thing probably 3 out of 5 days a week. I did not touch it today. For those, before you go into Mike, they got a downgrade at Raymond James today. Not a point downgrade, a downgrade. Sure. And it's down 10% on a Raymond James downgrade. This seems strange to me.
When do they report?
They're out. We got PayPal this week. I think Square is still out a couple weeks.
Okay, so they're into February? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, they report late. You're right. So along with Twitter. Twitter does as well.
The other 227. So we got a full month yet before the report.
I tell you, I like Square. But again, you got to play with what's in front of you versus, I think it's a strong company and they do great business and they are everywhere. They're everywhere and they're innovating how people pay for things. And
they deserve a disruptor too.
Yeah, well, yeah. And I think that for me, on my daily, it's sitting just above the 200-day.
Yep,
a little drift below that is not going to be pretty. I think it really could drive down the price of the stock. My momentum indicators and my stochastics have turned lower on the daily. I mean, they are pointing straight down. So maybe this downgrade today, which again, I'm surprised, not that we're saying anything negative about Raymond James, but it's not like JP Morgan saying, we're downgrading the stock. But good for Raymond James. They took a step and now we're going to see. But it looks like it's definitely headed towards 65. And I think if it breaks below 65, a quick trip to 60, because I don't see anything that's going to hold it up between the two. In fact, it's not pretty if it starts to really drop.
I think dips on this name are long-term buying opportunities.
Long-term. Define that for us.
I think eventually this name gets bought out, and it gets bought out probably over $100 a share.
Agreed. But when you're saying that, you know,
you don't play options, you buy common, and you just sit and hold. You put it away and you forget about it. Kind of like you would have done with Facebook going back all those years ago, or Amazon or Google.
All right, but now we're talking about people that either have pockets full of money.
You don't have to have a lot of it.
Excuse me. You buy 100 shares of this at 60.
Sure.
Well, okay. But there's a lot of investment.
What I think happened here today is this thing got hot, right? Overextended. Yeah. Everybody talking buyout after FTC got bought out. And this was its way of bringing it back into alignment. To your point, if it got to 64, the 50-day, I think that would be a screaming buy. I would be shocked if it didn't. I wouldn't be shocked if it didn't get there, because if the market rallies tomorrow, this will be one of the first ones to go. And if PayPal is good tomorrow night, God help us. This thing will take the bat out of hell again.
Yeah. And in fact, for all we know, PayPal could be the one that announces we're buying it.
I agree. I mean, I tend to think Visa, MasterCard, Amex would need them more because they fill the hole bigger. But you're mm-hmm. right. PayPal could too. Yeah. So for me, long-term, I'm buying Square on weakness, and I day trade this thing nonstop. So,
I think I'm going to have to join you on the trading part and give up my futures because I like Square. I like Square, and it's very liquid.
It's very liquid, and it moves. More importantly, as a day trader, you can buy one or two options and double you make and make 50 to 70% returns on this thing on a daily basis.
Do you cover this daily?
I go over this. I trade this name almost daily, either with options or with.
Please take note of this. Please take note of this. Mike Pisani is very, very good at what he does. Mm-hmm. If you come in on a Monday morning and he's telling you all about Square and he tells you to buy what option, my suggestion would be to do it.
I mean, this name trades extremely well. It's wide, it's loose, it's fast. So, you know, you got to be able to sit in a little bit of pain sometimes, right? Because this thing will move 30 cents in less than a minute.
But I have to tell you, you know, pain in an option is a lot better than pain in the underlying.
You got it. When you have 1,000 shares and this thing moves a buck against you in 2 minutes, it does not feel good. You sit there, a little bit of pucker on the lower end going, oh, that was brilliant.
Yeah, very well stated. I like that. It does not feel good. I like that.
All right, we're over our time.
I'm going to join you tomorrow because I want to hear what you say about Square because, yeah. Anyway, what do you want to do?
We're over our time. It's been great. Why don't you tell people about yourself, how to get a hold of you, and anything you want them to know?
I'm Michael Filiguera. I'm with Logical Signals, but I go much further than that. Currently, I am working with a friend who was a member of my trade room for a very long period of time and has started her own trade room. And so I'm over there. Not necessarily, I don't run mine anymore. I'm now over with hers. We trade futures and we're continuing to focus on the smaller capitalized trader. So we're trying to put programs together so that we can help people to get more funding. And that's one of my big projects right now. So again, stay tuned. So if you're interested in trading, but you've always felt that you're underfunded, hopefully I'm going to be able to give an honest and true funding program that is educational and gets people funded for the amount that they think they're being funded for. So there's a big difference between, and again, others who know that know how to interpret what I just said. If you want to get a hold of me, please send me an email to michael@logicalsignals.com or michael@mjf1partners.com. And I'll be more than happy to hear from you and catch you up on stuff. And thank you very much, Mike. This has been a total, I love it. I like doing these together with you. And Michael, thank you, David.
Been great. Thanks for telling us about yourself. I'm going to make it simple, guys. My name is Mike Pisani. I have smartoptiontrading.com. We just redid our website. Come visit us. Check us out. There's a newsletter here. You can sign up for it. It's free. I'll send you out a weekly video once a week telling you what the week's action, what I think's best moving forward. It doesn't cost you anything. I have services. If you're interested, I'm not trying to sell you today. Come sign up for them. You can get a hold of me either through there or come to see my Twitter account at it's Options Mike right up here. This is with me in the middle there on the set of Fast Money. And if you come and you pick up on me and you send me a direct message, I'll get back to you guys right away. Big couple days ahead here. See how the market plays out. I think if we go higher here, we can get a big move. Thanks, Michael, mm-hmm. for joining me tonight. Appreciate it. David, we're a little over, but I thought we had a great show and we got through a bunch of names and talked a whole lot of market.
Yeah, it was a great conversation. So thanks, guys. And just a reminder to everyone watching or listening, be sure to subscribe to Timing Research on YouTube if you haven't yet. I just crossed over 1,000 subscribers. So that's kind of an important milestone for the YouTube system. And so it was nice to reach that. And if you listen to podcasts, be sure to search for Timing Research on your favorite podcast network or app and subscribe to Timing Research there as well. Be sure to join us for both shows next week. Let's see. Some of the people I have on the schedule are Rob Hanna, Glenn Thompson, Simon Klein, Christian Fromhertz, and Dean Jenkins has been off for the last couple months as moderator of this show, but he will be back next Tuesday for the next episode of this show. So be sure to join us for that. You can always go to timingresearch.com/live to watch the live broadcast. And just want to thank my guests again for this week. Neil Batho was supposed to join us but wasn't able to today, so we'll try to have him back soon. And Michael Filiguera of logicalsignals.com and Mike Pisani of smartoptiontrading.com. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you, David. Take care, Michael. Night, David.
Night.